Welcome to Manager Tools. Flavor of the Month Pushback, Part 2. This cast answers these questions. Why are my directs pushing back on my changes? What can I do to overcome the pushback I'm getting from my directs? How can I make sure more of my management changes get implemented? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Even though we are all adapting to a new norm, effective managerial behaviors are still the same. Manager Tools is now offering our traditionally delivered client on-site effective manager training virtually over Zoom. We found a way to do it that allows for guidance delivery, interaction, practice, and even questions. Our model presents multiple virtual sessions for up to 30 people, one-on-ones, feedback, rolling out the Trinity, and delegation. Each attendee will receive the MT annual license, including the roadmap program and organizational reporting for your group's Trinity rollout. A great option for those who have to work from home or managers in different geographic locations where getting together for one day in person is really difficult. The investment is $15,000 for the full program. Contact Maggie to learn more at maggie@manager-tools.com.
The second thing we want to say, we had two. On the first one, we sort of cheated because we said plan and brief.
Yeah, otherwise the outline would have been way too long.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, the podcast can be way too long too. And the next one is insist and persist. So once you've started a change effort, you got to keep these rules in mind, okay? The first one is insist, all right? When one of your directs implies, suggests, or boldly states that things aren't going well, ignore their implied recommendation. Never believe the first report from the front. Okay? Don't. It's entirely possible when somebody says, hey, you know, not really sure, boss, to thank them for keeping the lines of communication open. Hey, look, dude, I don't want to be surprised. Go ahead and give me the bad news early. Of course, the guys who are always willing to tell you, I always like to give you the bad news early, boss. You know, I know you like that way. Those are the guys where good news will never pass their lips. It's entirely possible to thank people for communicating. And at the same time, say things will continue as they are. Okay. So here's what you would say. Listen, thanks. I appreciate this. I always want to hear things are going, especially when we're implementing changes, we may be able to make some small adjustments. That's good to know. Now, you just want to say that to acknowledge the input. Now, I promise you, there's going to be a look, a flicker. And if you study that phrase that I just gave you, hey, listen, thanks, I appreciate this. I always want to hear things, how things are going, especially when we're implementing changes, you never know. It's really good to know.
There's a reinforcement of something right in there.
Yeah, and you just stop there. And I promise there will be a flicker when you stop talking. And the flicker on their face will be, oh, he didn't roll over like a puppy dog. Because I gave him an idea that maybe I had heard from somebody third party that maybe perhaps in certain situations, this change was going to be a little harder than we thought. And I don't know. I just don't want to do it. I'd rather just be comfortable because, you know, that's what the company pays me for, to be comfortable, for heaven's sakes. So guys, this is what we would call passive insistence. When you get input that is negative, you accept the input and do not change your plan.
Kind of like the medicine ball, right?
There you go. Exactly. You catch the medicine ball. Yeah, that's a great cast from years ago. So the input you're getting may be genuinely only seen as a data point and not worthy of making changes for. You may look at it and go, no, I'm okay with that. I can tolerate that. You know, every change road is rocky. Or in your mind, you might be really nervous and you might feel like, uh-oh, here it comes. I knew this, I had doubts, I had fears, I had uncertainties, and maybe this is the start of a death of a thousand cuts. Maybe they're laying in wait for me here. But you're telling them you see their input as a data point and not as a derailer. Two can play at that game. And by the way, the flavor of the month, they don't want to be associated with it. That the whole point of flavor of the month is the directs want to take down the idea so they can go back to their previous way of doing things because that was less difficult, easier, more comfortable, more steady. And they don't want to be associated with taking it down. In fact, they just assume it'd be all third-party negative feedback up to you that causes it. And then they can be on your side as a disinterested
observer. Wash their hands of it. I was behind the boss, but all those other dudes. Yeah.
Okay, so that's passive insistence. And that is a form of insistence. You know, hey, sir, things are getting pretty bloody up there. Thanks for the input. And some of them will turn around and go back and say to them, hey, did you tell him? What did he say? He said, thanks. Well, did he say we're going to change or do anything? No, that's all he said. Well, why didn't you push him? Hey, guys, I don't know if you know this. We're doing the flavor of the month thing here. I can't push him. I got one data point. I can't say, sir, we really need to change it, because he could look at me and say, seriously? Are we going to act cowardly in the face of the enemy here? We have one data point. It's a good idea. We haven't given it enough time. Let's keep charging on. And I promise you, if we have a mountain of evidence, I'll stop. I'm not stupid. I'm not a glutton for punishment. But they literally, there are times when they think they have so, there are people who work for managers who have so little respect for the manager's sense of constancy that they expect one bad piece of information that was hinted at by somebody else in a meeting that he overheard later that, you know, maybe things aren't great. So let's go a step further. Let's go to active insistence. Okay, so they've mentioned something, and you say, hey, listen, really appreciate you bringing this to my attention. Always good to know stuff like this to stay current. You know, on the other hand, though, no improvement effort is perfect. And frankly, dude, it's good information, it's data, but it doesn't worry me one bit. Full speed ahead. Now, we recommend you use this particularly when you sense that your direct who came to you is one of your cynics, one of your naysayers, one of your change avoiders, or one of those retired on active duty team members. The goal that you're attempting to achieve in this communication is you're sending a message that you intend to insist and persist. And so he or she, they ought to cease and desist, right? Now, let's go a step further. There's even more insistence you can do here, okay? And that's public insistence. Now, maybe in your change effort, you've heard from two or three people individually, or when your naysayers are using the juvenile technique of third-party stabbings. And juvenile, by the way, is charitable for this description. And they say things like, you know, boss, I can see the value here, but I got to tell you, I've heard some things. Some of the guys, they're finding this or they're finding that could be problematical, you know, just wanted to let you know. I'm on your side, but these other yahoos, can't trust them. Now, full disclosure here, guys, if your most loyal direct or your number two are the ones to bring you this, that's a different story.
Right.
And by the way, I'll just make this aside, since I have a feeling this cast is going long. Whenever a direct comes to you, and we'll turn this into its own podcast, but I'll tease it now. A direct comes to you with negative information, and it's third-party negative information. Hey, I don't know if you know, but I heard somebody mention, you know, whatever. And there is a correct response, but I'm going to give it to you in the form of a movie quote. At the very end, not the very, very, very end, but at the almost very end, the scene, it's not the last scene, which is in a warehouse. It's not the second to last scene, which is on the steps of a building. I guess it's not next to last. So it's second to last. There are two scenes before the end of this movie.
Are you going to tell us what this movie is?
No, I'm not yet.
Oh my God.
And in the movie, something has happened. And look, if you were a serious movie buff, dude, if I tell you the last scene in the movie is in a warehouse, you should know.
Okay. No, I just figured it out. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. In the movie, second to last scene, some people who have been behaved quite heroically have been told that the people who are studying the outcome of what happened in the movie are top men. And one of the heroes looks at them and says, "Who?" And the guy says back, "Top men." The point of this is when people tell you things you don't want to hear, but they don't want to reveal everything. And the everything includes, who told you that? The correct thing to say is, who? And the movie, if you haven't figured it out, guys, is Raiders of the Lost Ark. When one of your directs comes to you and says, I heard this from somebody else. Oh, who'd you hear it from? Well, I'd really rather not say.
I've just heard
really?
It.
Really? Yeah. You'd rather not say? So therefore, for all I know, it's one of our competitors. And so therefore, I should ignore it because our competitors would want to be against anything that might make us more competitive. Yeah, don't buy that stuff. Actually, it was told to me in confidence. Really? And you're coming to me? Really? This is a secret that you're willing to die on the hill for? Somebody told you a secret in confidence about an ongoing managerial change effort we're in? No, I'm sorry. I don't believe it. Love you, dude. Sorry. No. Okay. Or good information. But I'm not taking it as the information you think I'm taking it as. Okay, so if they're going to do a third-party stabbing, and it often comes from your bottom feeders, or when you get multiple incident reports, it may be time to exchange the sword parrying back and forth for some carpet bombing, and that's public insistence. And it might sound like this in a meeting. Hey, guys, several of you have been kind enough to share with me some hiccups or concerns regarding our Project Sierra Foxtrot, and hopefully the people who have been getting daily things, I think lately during COVID-19 lockdowns can figure out the reference to Sierra Foxtrot. I appreciate the input as always. Thank you. Always better to have more communication. Horseman Second Law, more communication is better. And just for the record, there's nothing I've heard or seen that worries me at all. As I've said privately to some of you, I'm saying publicly to all of you, it's full speed ahead. And by the way, if you really want to make that more clear to everybody, add the names of the several to it. So now it would sound like this. Several of you, Pat, Dana, Sam, have been kind enough to share with me some hiccups or concerning regarding Project Sierra Foxtrot. A lot of them were mentioned like third party, but regardless, it was Pat and Dana and Sam who came to me. I appreciate that input from them as I always do. And there's nothing I've heard or seen that worries me at all about this. I've said it privately to y'all, it's many of you, certainly to Pat, to Dana, and Sam, and now I'm saying it publicly to all of you. Full speed ahead, folks.
I'm glad you said public insistence when you kicked off this particular category of or way of addressing it, because when you said public, I heard my head before you said insistence, I heard public flogging, which I thought might be useful.
Yeah, that reminds me of the t-shirt that's popular in sailboat chartering locations all over the world with a picture of a skull and crossbones that says, "The beatings will continue until morale improves."
There you go. Yeah.
So look, one more thing. If you've publicly insisted and people continue to, push back, you could give some negative feedback to somebody. You could say, if after you've done that, you could say, "Can I give you some feedback? When you bring me more concerns after I've publicly said it's full speed ahead, it comes across as your selfish interest in not changing. Can you work on that?" Or you could say, "When you do that, it comes across as you're bringing me your problems rather than solving the problems in this new effort. Can you work on that for me?"
Yeah, at some point, once the boss has made it clear, we're doing this, right? There may be problems, but we're doing this. You keep bringing back problems. It's not useful.
Starting June 17th in North America, but June 18th in Australia, we'll be hosting our first ever virtual Effective Manager Conference on Australian time. We've heard the requests. Many of you are wanting to attend. Fewer of you are wanting to do it in the middle of the night. And so we've answered. Visit us at manager-tools.com/training. There you'll find our virtual EMC and the list of dates. We hope to find them filled with those down under.
Okay. Measurement. They said,
yeah.
The next thing is measure, which,
yeah, this is,
that's the one that
killer app.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Somebody will say, yeah, this is really good. You know, I like what you're saying, but what if I'm not really sure my plan will work? What if these people are bringing me legitimate inputs? Am I just rolling over them unfairly? I know you're thinking it. I've thought it 100 times.
And that would probably be a lot of folks' reactions to our last piece about feedback, right? Which is, we're going forward. Now, are we all of a sudden saying we don't want to hear anything negative? That's not what we're saying.
No, I don't want to hear. No, I'm not against hearing things negative. I don't want people to bring me their problems. I want them to solve them themselves. Because when they're bringing us problems in the beginning, they're like reports from the front. If they continue to bring us problems, now they haven't figured out that we are all in on this and they're supposed to solve the problems when they see them. They're not supposed to bring me problems. They're supposed to tell me about problems and then tell me how they solved it or make a recommendation about what we're going to do. This is the big difference. People say this all the time. Well, my guys brought me a problem. Well, strike one. Okay. And it is communication. One of your directs says, there's a problem. But it's not high-level professional communication. We're always thankful to hear about things that might be going wrong. But the high-level professional communication is, what you want is, hey, boss, there's something going on. Here's the way we've analyzed it based on this early report. And here's what we're planning on doing. I just want to let you know. That's you telling me how you're dealing with the changing nature of the world we live in. All the time, everything changes. Okay. You coming back and telling me what's not working is a whole different kettle of fish. That says you're not behind it. You don't believe in it. Because if you believed in it, you would have solved the problem. Now you might, if you say to somebody, hey, okay, thanks for the input. What did you do? Well, I didn't do anything. Well, what did you have your head chopped off? I mean, when there's a problem, when we've decided to do X and there's a problem, you know, what's one of my all time favorite management quotes, dude? If you start to take Vienna. Anyway. Okay. What if people, you know, they're worried, right? And what if I'm not sure my plan will work? What if these negatives I'm hearing are actually accurate? Let's talk about those. What if I'm not really sure my plan will work? Folks, you're applying the wrong standard to your efforts. The standard is not surety. If you're thinking that Mike and I, because we've managed for 35 years, that we're sure of things. We're not sure. The standard isn't surety. The standard is confidence. We know you're not sure. Frequently, neither are we. But are you confident? Do you believe in what you're doing? For some of us, that means trusting our gut because, you know, when you're 30, you're smart in your head. And when you're 60, you're smart in your gut. Your knowledge has just migrated into an understanding of all the various levers and factors and issues and perturbations that happen in day-to-day life. And you don't even have to think about it anymore. Your conscious knowledge has become subconscious. Okay. But look, if you're a fan of trusting yourself, but you're also smart, you know that you don't just trust yourself, but you verify with measurement. For some other people, that means planning through every possible loose end. None of those things are bad. They're all different ways of approaching things. But the question you should be asking is not, what if I'm not sure? The question is, am I confident? And if you're confident, ignore the naysayers and don't worry about being sure. Now, if somebody says to you, what if these things they're telling me are legitimate? It's real data I need to consider. Well, it's real by definition. You believe it unless you get the sense that somebody's misleading you, and that's a different thing. But probably it is legitimate input. They're probably turning a molehill into a mountain, but that's okay. This internal doubt probably springs from a couple of places in my experience working with a lot of managers over the years. And you know, part of it is even if you think these bearers of bad news are actually acting selfishly. Maybe they're also right. And then the other one is, you know, you're afraid you're going to drive off a cliff, and maybe stopping right now is the right thing to do. So again, all inputs are legitimate, but the standard for your change effort isn't perfection. So one thing that isn't right, which takes you off of perfection, is not a big deal. The standard for a change effort is reasonableness. Look, everybody's got a plan until they get hit. No plan survives first contact with the enemy. If you think your plan is reasonable, not perfect, but reasonable, continue, okay? This guidance is about giving you tools and fortitude to overcome the pernicious problem of the pessimists attempting to smother your plans. Now, you might say, well, maybe I'm rolling over these people unfairly. But the other side of that coin is worth considering. Maybe they're just scheming to kill your plans unfairly. It's not unfair to hear inputs from your people of difficulties or problems that new efforts face and to consider them, but also to consider them insufficient to justify killing your effort. It's your job to make a judgment. It's our job to tell you there are selfish people on your team, and the game they're playing is so prevalent they named it to make it look like it's your fault. So don't believe everything you hear regarding how new stuff isn't going well. It may in fact be true, but the intention of the deliverer is not to be trusted. And look, all these arguments are about an internal dialogue between your intent and the early results, between hubris, maybe you've overreached, and reality. And we don't spend too much time worrying about internal dialogue. Organizations of the world, professionals of the world know the answer to these doubts is to measure things. Okay. And in our guidance on planning earlier in the cast, we said measurement right after behavior change. Guys, if you want your change effort to succeed, you decide in advance how you're going to measure the change process, not just whether or not you get different outcomes, but measure the change process and then how things are going to be measured after it has achieved steady state. In other words, maybe the change process is, or the measurement in the time of the change is weekly reporting on these four metrics. And then once we've achieved steady state, we're only going to report on the big one. And the reason you want reporting on all four is you want proof that things are going well, even when people are saying things aren't going well. Mm-hmm. You need to answer people's whispers with facts. And so you build measurements for your change effort into the change effort. And again, I don't mean the measurement now versus the measurement in the end. I mean measuring it, reporting on it every week during the change effort. Okay. So after you get pushback, show them the metrics. Unless it's somehow dropping off a cliff, you're fine. In fact, the first thing that's going to happen is things go down because people were used to doing it the old way. They could do it in their sleep. Now they're having to think about it and it's new. And it's a bit like me telling you to cross your arms, then look down at your arms and notice that every time you cross your hands and arms go in the same place, left over right, right over left. And if I told you right now, uncross your arms and then recross them with your hands and arms exactly the wrong place, you could do it, but it would take you longer and it'd feel weird. And some people don't like to feel weird.
I can't even do it. I'm trying it right now.
Yeah, it happens. We see people at conferences like, no, I can't do that. I'm uncomfortable. I say, oh yeah, because you get paid to be comfortable. The reason measurement, and therefore, guys, listen to me on this. There are no measures that aren't reported. If you tell me we don't report on that measurement, it's not a measurement. Okay? That's like having a yardstick that doesn't have any divisions on it. I measured. Yeah, but it didn't tell you anything. If it doesn't tell you anything, it's not a measurement. There are no measurements without reporting. Okay? So the reason it's so important is if you're measuring the behavior change you want, less than positive numbers not only reflect on your idea, they also reflect poor performance on the part of your team towards the goal you've set. And heck, if you have the ability to create individualized metrics, measuring is going to help you sort out the naysayers from the supporters. So when Dana is killing it and has all this measures good, but Sam over here has got bad metrics, and Sam says, look at the metrics. I say, yeah, I know. I'm looking at Dana's. He seems to be doing just fine. I'm not saying you have to do that in all cases. In some cases you do, in some cases you don't. The naysayers won't like the spotlight being on them and on their behavior, and that's the discussion you want to have as opposed to on your idea. Because the people who are the naysayers, who believe in flavor of the month, they're trying to kill your idea. They're trying to make it stillborn. That's not the way to do it. And believe me, 50 of the podcasts in my 3,000 podcast list for the future include more details on measuring and reporting. But Mike, I have a feeling you're getting ready to tell me I've been talking too long.
No, this has been awesome. I thought when we talked about this cast, it was going to be fairly short, and I was surprised, dude, pleasantly surprised though, in terms of the amount of detail here. So
yeah, you have to say that though, pleasantly surprised. Yeah, I love this stuff. I wish I could teach a college course on management, and there would be significant modules on measuring and reporting.
You know, the thing that goes through my head every time we go through this stuff and we talk about it in this kind of detail, the contrasting the idea of management being all about successful management being about personality and all that versus a set of behaviors, right?
Yeah.
And for those managers who are struggling and they don't feel they necessarily have a great quote unquote leadership personality.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, this is the kind of stuff that smart managers think about and do, right? The behaviors they engage in that make a big difference. Management is completely knowable. It is not this holy grail, this thing you have to sit on a mountaintop and meditate on for 15 days or 30 days or 100 days to figure out. It's just a set of behaviors.
Change your behaviors. Yep. Okay, so summarizing. Guys, when you start to hear rumors of flavor of the month, it's a sign that your directs are opposing your efforts. And that means you have to stay constant. If you believe in what you're doing, if you insist and persist, your flavor will become their normal. And that's how it's supposed to be.
All right, my friend. I enjoyed that.
Thanks, partner.
We'll take care. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great one. So long.